Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, listeners. This is Joyce Kiles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. Thank you so much for tuning in for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. We enjoy bringing this show to you each and every Monday from 5:30 until 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Of course, if you're on the West Coast, it should be about 4:30, about 3:30 where you are. And if you're on East Coast, you're looking at about 6:30. We are so appreciative that you're taking out time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And if this is your first time, we extend a very hearty welcome to each and every one of you for joining us and tuning in and learning more about us. Walking Into a New Life, our mission is to stop domestic violence and help stabilize victims through a series of projects, programs, and initiatives that we host throughout the year. And Boots on the Ground is just one of those extensions of ensuring that we are getting information out to individuals who may be dealing with domestic violence, sexual assault, and any other social issues. So we cover everything from human trafficking to reproductive justice, economic justice. We just cover a whole gamut of different areas. So even if sexual assault and domestic violence may not be your specific areas, you likely know someone who is going through or has gone through. And so not only do we have individuals on our show that are survivors, but we also provide you with tangible resources. So you get to hear a little bit about their stories. But more importantly, we transition from not just talking about the experiences, but how those experiences are being used to help and engage our communities and to help individuals transition from victim to victorious. I am so pleased to have our very special guest, who is no stranger to radio, and she's no stranger to us. We're actually going into part two of our interview with Mrs. Teresa Howard. I will just give you a little bit of background about her. She is a woman of bravery, strength, courage, and resiliency. She currently resides in Texas. She is a wife, author, advocate, public speaker, and survivor of domestic violence. And with that, I'm going to open the floor for her because I want her to share in her own way things that she may want you to know about her, because I've got some exciting news that I want to share, and I'm going to save that for just a moment. So at this time, I would like to present to some and introduce to others none other than Mrs. Teresa Howard. So, Teresa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate the time that you give me to shine a light on domestic violence, because I come from that. I spent 20 years in a marriage filled with domestic violence, not only physical but verbal, mental, emotional, financial, every way that it could be. And so it's my mission to help other women know that there's life after abuse. You know, we hear so much about the victim part of it that we don't realize that as women, we are very resilient and we can move on and become victorious in our own way and then give back to the women who are coming after. That's my most important part, is that once you've gone through and once you come through, it's very important that you turn around and lend a hand out and bring the next woman with you, because that's the most powerful thing you can do, is to be a beacon, a light, a guide for someone else who's coming through what you've already been through, whether it be sexual assault, whether it be molestation, whether it be domestic violence. No matter what you've come through, there's another woman who's waiting to hear your words, waiting to hear your story, waiting to know that there's a ray of hope, that there's a light, that there's a way that she can overcome it too. And sharing your story and telling her what you've been through and telling others what you've been through is a great way to do that. And it's a great way for you to help another woman to start on her path of healing. And it's a great way for you to complete your path of healing.
And Teresa, thank you so much, because that is the reason that I wanted you to come back to the show, because you are definitely one of the most resilient people that I've come across in a long time. And we've not ever physically met one another. We, you know, like so many people we come across, we met by way of social media, Facebook. But I'm so glad for the introduction. I know that we're part of at least one group. And I just love the work that you're doing. You don't just talk about it. You're actually doing the work. And so many points that you made are very valid. we have to not only just, you know, use those experiences for ourselves and showing and proving to ourselves that we can overcome, but actually do things that are going to encourage others and then allow them to see that this was our situation, this is who we were, but this is who we are, and this is who you can be as well. So I just love the fact that you don't just walk the walk, you talk the talk, and you're doing the work that needs to be done. So kudos to you for continuing doing the work that you do. And I want to share, this is probably a really good segue, because I mentioned that you're a wife and an advocate, a public speaker. We talked briefly about you being a survivor of domestic violence. What I'd like for you to do is just take a few minutes at this time to tell our listening audience about who you are in terms of the author side and the magazine side and what you're doing with that, because I just think that's amazing. So for the next few minutes, just please feel free to share with our listening audience in your own way.
Well, when I first wrote my story, it was very healing for me to put down all those emotions and all those things that had happened. And I write the old-fashioned way. Some type in their computer. I'm a pen-to-paper person. I write it in the journal form, and then I type it into my computer to share with others. And so it was very liberating for me. It was very healing. It taught me how to work through the emotions. It let me let go of a lot, to release a lot, to forgive a lot. And when I say that, some people are taken aback about the forgiving part. But forgiveness is not for my abuser, because honestly, he don't care. He didn't care one way or the other. He didn't care when he was doing the abuse. He didn't care after the abuse. He didn't care after he went to jail for the abuse. Him at all. But that pain that I was carrying around with me by physically hating him, physically having ill feelings, physically not forgiving him, physically blaming him, and all of those things, those emotions were hurting me. They weren't doing anything to him. And so once I realized how freeing and how liberating and how much writing helped me heal, I started Women on a Mission Coaching, and I help other women to write their stories. The women in my new book, Women on a Mission, Trials, Tribulations, Triumph, there are 53 stories, I believe, in there of women who have overcome some horrific things. I mean, from rape to molestation to spiritual warfare, there are a lot of stories in there. And there are some positive stories, too, but there are a lot of women who came from domestic violence, who came from addiction, who came from a lot of things that they thought would destroy them. It didn't define them, because they chose not to let their past define them. And they chose to move on from it and to build a better future from those bricks and that foundation, because that's what you have to decide. You have to decide to stop being, because as long as you're the victim, they still have the power. As long as I was still angry, as long as I was still afraid of him, as long as I was still fearful, as long as I still gave him all of my strength, all my power and my thoughts, I was still captive. Even though I don't live with him anymore, even though I was divorced from him, he was still in control. Yeah. And so when I learned to take my power back, it was very, very liberating. It was very, for me, it was like a weight was lifted off my heart and my soul. And so the best thing I need to do after prayed about it and after I talked about it and after I decided what to do is to help other women do the same thing. And that's where the book came from. And in less than 12 hours, those 53 women became number one international bestsellers on Amazon, which is kind of unheard of.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I am so proud of you.
It's healing us. Thank you. I mean, but it not only heals us, and that's what I told them. I compiled the book. It was my, you know, and these women were brave enough to take this journey with me, because it was a journey. Because when you write those emotions and, you know, a lot of it comes back to, you don't know if people will accept your story. You don't know if people even want to read your story. You think, well, you know, there's no one else out there like me. But the problem is that there's another woman who's saying the same thing. There's no one who's been through abuse like that. There's no one whose mother acted like that. There's no one whose father acted like that. There's no one whose husband, boyfriend, brother, children acted like that. There's no one who has the struggles I do. And when we share our stories, we connect with those people. And obviously there was some powerful connecting going on, considering we took number one international bestseller in 12 hours. So that tells me that there are women out there who need to hear our stories, who were touched by our stories, who are blessed by our stories and healed. There are women who reach out. I had 72 messages Sunday morning, the book released on Saturday, telling me that they saw themselves in the book. They saw themselves in the stories. They connected with it. They felt from it. They saw their past. It was like looking in a mirror when they read the woman's story. And that's a powerful connection because you're helping her to see that, because these women, they've all overcome. So that was who they were. That's not who they are. And that's a powerful statement that we need to understand. Our past is who we were. All the worrying about it, all the thinking and reliving it in your mind and the coulda, shoulda, woulda, you know, that none of that can be redone. The only time you can change is from here forward. So we have to step up and we have to say, from today forward, I'm going to do different. Because when you do different, you get different results. I could have stayed the victim. I could have been quiet. I live in a small town in Texas. The people that I live around now, they didn't know my past. They didn't know what I went through because I moved away. And so I could have reinvented and not ever spoke about the domestic violence and the abuse. But I knew that somewhere there was another woman whose husband was hitting her, who wasn't talking to her right, or a young girl who was in a relationship and didn't realize what the signs were of what was coming her way. And I did know because I walked that path. And so her mother can tell her, her social worker can tell her, a judge, anybody in the police can tell her. But if I can tell her word for word what he's going to say, if I can tell her, I've been in your shoes, honey, I know where you are. I know that pain. You know, we ask them all the time, why do you stay? Why do you stay? We stay because we love them. You know, there's no way around it. We didn't choose to be abused. We love them. Everybody, when we can come through what we've come through and lead another out, it's the most greatest blessing there is to be able to help another woman or another man, because 15% are men.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm really glad that you put that in there right at the end, because I still feel like as a society, we still don't recognize that men can be victimized and are victimized just as women are. But because the stigma is put on them that, you know, because they're a man, it's just automatically assumed, well, you're bigger, you're stronger, you should be able to, as I've heard, control your woman kind of thing. And it's a catch-22 because if they don't fight back, then, you know, they're considered weak. But if you do, you're going to jail. So it puts them in a position of, well, what do I do? And I always tell women, too, you know, that no, men are not supposed to hit you and mistreat you and talk down to you and belittle you. But we as women also have to recognize that we shouldn't do that either, that it doesn't give us a pass to do those things because we're women, because we feel that we're protected, so to speak, by, well, we can say and do whatever, because, you know, and he's not going to hit me, he's not going to mistreat me, because it's just as wrong on that, you know, on both ends. So glad you brought that up at the end. I am just so pleased at the number of women that you did the anthology with, because that's a large number of women to say that they all came together, all shared a common goal of wanting to get their stories out. And it really speaks to you in terms of people trusting you with their stories and their information. That's huge. That's absolutely huge. So kudos to you for even, you know, putting yourself as a vulnerable and personable person in that regard to say that, you know, I am a strong woman, but I can be open and vulnerable to you and let you know I've been where you've been, and that these stories have to get out. You know, we always say they weren't given to us to keep. They were intended for us. If we are blessed to make it to the other side of survival, then I believe we're supposed to share our stories, because it helps to give power and credibility to who we are and our strength, and it shows others who are going through, who think that they can't get out or that there is no hope on the other side, it gives them an opportunity to see that, yes, there is, that there is a way, there is hope, there is opportunity, there are people who've gone through what you've gone through, and we've made it, you know, and does it mean that you're going to get over it overnight? that's not the case. But it can happen over time. It can happen, and it will happen over time. But it takes trust. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of honesty. And you're providing platforms for women and men to be able to do that. And so I want you to share a little bit about the magazine as well and what's involved with that, because I love the fact that you do mention that writing is definitely a therapeutic way of being able to share your experiences and help other people.
Yes, I have my personal magazine. My friend and I, we're from East Texas, and women are just not celebrated out here like they should be. If you go into Dallas or Houston or somewhere here in Texas, women are celebrated for their successes, for their business, and for things like that. And so we started the Tribute magazine in order to celebrate women. It spotlights in all facets, whether it be motherhood, whether it be family, whether it be spiritually, whether it be business, because we need to celebrate the small things, and everything's a victory. And, you know, some days just getting out of bed is a victory. Those days come. And so if we learn to celebrate each other instead of tearing them down, it's a better society. That was one thing that I learned in the book, because it was my first time being a compiler, but it was not my first time writing in a compilation. And I found that I set the tone for my book to be, we celebrate together and we lift each other up. We don't do negative. And so that was the best part of it, because when you get 53 women together, it's not always pretty. I mean, in the best of circumstances. It's just not. It's just not. We have differences of opinion. We have differences.
That's why I'm 2 or 3 and not pretty.
We have differences. I know. And for me, that was the beauty of this book, because even though we still had those differences, and you'll read in the book, some of the women have, you know, different views on healthy living, different views on how they walk their life, whether motherhood was for them or not for them. You know, everybody has a different view. But the goal of the book was so strong for these women that they were able to put aside all those differences and concentrate on what the book was going to do for the next generation, because that's what's important. The next people who read it, the next people, the next woman. And so that, you know, in older societies and in different societies around the world, storytelling was always a major part of their, I'm Native American. My grandmother was Choctaw. And so it was a very, you know, it was a part of their heritage. It's not anymore, you know. And so when we don't learn from what's come before us, we're destined to repeat it. That's the cycle of abuse. When we don't learn and break the cycle, this continues. That's the generational curses. When we don't learn to stop it, you know, alcoholism, drug addict, whatever it is that is in our, when we don't learn to stop it and change it, we just repeat it until we do. And so that's why it was so important for these women they came together, and even though they may have differences or they may not, you know, because there's a wide variety of women in this book, there'll be something for everyone. And so even though they may not have the same political views or the same, we may not go to the same churches or we may not have the same, you know, activities or even the same job or the same family, we came together because the goal was so strong, just to get our stories out there and to share with others how we came through and how you can overcome. And so it went off without a hitch. I was so shocked. It just really was. The whole time I kept waiting for that ball to drop. But it didn't, because those women were so focused on the beauty of their stories. Because usually what happens at the end is they get scared of their stories. You know, I don't think it's written right. I really think I need to reread it one more time. I'm going to change one more thing. That usually happens. Not here. And we had some glitches. I mean, it didn't go off. We had some glitches with Kindle. And even with the glitches, the women were like, oh, it's still beautiful. It's wonderful. We love it. You know, it was still a celebration. And so for that many women to come together and unite was just it was an amazing journey.
Well, you know, we tend to be our own worst critics. So whereas someone who looks at what we're doing and thinks it's absolutely wonderful, we can always pick it apart and find something that we should do differently, could have done differently. And it's usually fine. What we have is usually okay.
Right.
One of the things that I want to point out that I really like about the fact that you pointed out that there's so many different walks of life that are featured in this book. And that is really a true testament to the way that abuse works, because there is no particular sexual orientation or political background or religious background or black, white, Indian, Asian. You know, it happens across all boards, all walks of life, all races, all genders. You know, it really is not discriminatory. So you need something, you need a book like what you've written, so that people can really see the different faces of what survival looks like, because it happens in all walks of life. So that's important. And I'm glad that you being so honest and transparent about the fact that, you know, everybody didn't always see everything quite eye to eye, or that there was a lot of critiquing going on, but that's what humans do. And that's the most important takeaway for me and all that you said. Everyone came together and exposed the real human sides of themselves, you know, and what that transition is like, because it's not going to be the same. Your walk is different from mine, and mine is different from someone else's. So people have to see and know the different elements so that they can say, okay, I can relate to this story best, that this part really resonates with me. And what people start to get as they look at the book and they read through it is that they can really recognize themselves in everyone's story to some degree. And then, of course, there will be some stories that, you know what, it's as if someone wrote that right out of our life. So I want you at this time to please share with our listening audience how they can get in touch with you, and how can they purchase the book?
The book is on Amazon. It's in Kindle right now. The paperback will be out on the 3rd. You can just go Women on a Mission in Amazon. You can just click it in the search box. It'll bring it up. You can reach me at my website, TeresaHollyHoward.com, or you can follow me on Facebook, or you can email me at Teresa at TakeActionWithTeresa.com. And, you know, I think one of the main things that I want women to understand is that if we learn to see the similarities in our lives and the same struggles that we all universally have with wanting to be loved and wanting to love someone else, that the other things will fade away, whether it be the color of our skin, the church we attend on Sunday, or the person we choose to love. I think that those things will fade away into the background if we start to concentrate on the things that we as humans have in common, because that was one of the things we did with the book. We may not have the same skin tone. We may not have the same religion. We may not even have the same political beliefs, because, you know, we were in a very turbulent political arena while we were putting the book together, still are. And so I think that if we learn to look for the similarities in the people around us, that it's easier to tolerate the differences.
I think that's very well said. Teresa, we are coming down to the end of our show. Just want to ask if there is any other points, anything that you want people to know that you have coming up. If you just want to take a moment or two as we wrap this up to share again about any current events that are coming up, anything that you want the listening audience to take away.
Well, like I said, the paperback will be out on Sunday, so please go and support. Also, in October, I will be in Houston, which October's a while off, but the Love for the Cinderella's Ball is coming up again, and I'll be down there supporting. So I'd love for y'all to look that up on Facebook. It's a great list. This year they're spotlighting 10 domestic violence victims. It's a beautiful ball. You can look on Facebook and see all that Dr. Conti Terrell has everything on there. And you can look on there and look it up, but they need support. And like I said, if we support the victims, trust me that things will change, because that's where we need to be. We need to be supporting the women and men who are coming out of domestic violence.
And Teresa, what is the name of that event in October?
It's the Love of the Cinderellas, Love the Cinderellas Ball. She has a Facebook page. You can just type in Love the Cinderellas, I believe. And it's a huge ball in Houston, Texas. They do it every year. And she's always looking for support. They always, because everything's donated for the ball. And so the dresses that the ladies wear, the shoes, makeup, everything's donated. Last year, there were 40 Cinderellas, my Mary Kay ladies and I, that I have that are in my group for coaching. We took 40 Mary Kay packets down there with complete facial sets and everything for the Cinderellas. We'll be supporting again this year. And this year I have the new book coming out, Echoes in the Darkness, and the royalties are going to it. So it'll be a great ball.
It sounds like it, and I will be sharing that information on our fan page as well and our social media sites. And I'm just going to ask all of our listeners if there's any part of the show that you may have missed just because you may have tuned in a little late, please go back and listen to the replay. The replays are always available for each and every show that we do. And for those of you that are listening for the first time, again, I just want to say thank you for tuning in and listening to the information that was shared. Please go back and listen to some of the past episodes as well, because a lot of great information given each week. And that's one of the things that I really love the most about this show, is because every week we have been able to share information, tangible resources, stories of survival, ways that people can get involved, a better understanding of different types of abuse, ways to get involved if your interest is in human trafficking or child abuse or social economic justice or reproductive justice, in addition to domestic violence and sexual assault. So poverty, we've discussed cancer, homelessness. This is a show that I love hosting for those reasons. And we have the opportunity to spotlight individuals that maybe not as well known, but we've also had the opportunity to feature guests on our show that are highly profiled and famous and celebrity status and all that good stuff. But the commonality is that they all have a desire to do community service-oriented type of work. So, again, Teresa, I just want to say thank you so much for being our special guest on the show today. Thank you for your time and your continued dedication to survivors everywhere. And again, congratulations to you on your latest success, becoming an international best-selling author. That is no small feat. So congratulations again to you.
Thank you so much for having me, and y'all have a blessed night.
Thank you so much. And as we wrap up, I just want to remind everyone to please continue to follow us, to support us, to donate to us. We are a nonprofit organization, so your donations are tax deductible. Please reach out to us via our website at wianl.org. Again, wianl.org. We can be reached by phone at 901-466-6182. Our email address is info@wianl.org. We just wrapped up our campaign for collecting old cell phones to be given, to be cleaned and distributed for victims and survivors of abuse. So thank you to everyone who contributed. We also have our Goodness Gracious cookie drive going on right now. So you can go on Facebook and you can see the link there. Our website is being completed as we speak. So I'm looking forward to being able to launch that for you all soon as well. Just we have a lot of great things going on. So if you're not already connected to us, please sign up for the newsletter and follow us on social media. Again, thank you for your time, your talent, your efforts. They do not go unnoticed, and it's not in vain. If you or someone that you know is going through a domestic violence situation, please call 911 immediately. Reach out to your local police precinct. And, of course, give us a call if you're here locally at 901-466-6182. We'll refer you over to the services that will work best for your situation. Until next time, I'm Joyce Kiles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and this has been another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. Be blessed.